welcome to SOLIDWORKS Heard, a show about tools, tips, and technology surrounding SOLIDWORKS engineering and the web. This is episode 441 for May 19, 2013. May Tech News. Well, hi, and welcome to SOLIDWORKS Heard. I'm Lou Gallo. Well, yes, I did miss last weekend, and it kind of ended up working out. I actually had quite a busy weekend and last weekend, and it was ended up being just with the work week and stuff a little bit difficult. I had most of the stuff for the tech news, but I was still kind of waiting on a couple of things, especially for the industry news to segment. And this week it was Google I/O, and it's for those of you that have been listening to the show long enough know that I'm a pretty big fan, and I spend a lot of time on the back end of a lot of Google services. So I write a lot of code, and I'm really interested in Google I/O. Every year it seems to become the bigger event. And so because it has such a huge impact to the way that the web works and a lot of functionalities, technologies, and even just updates to a lot of the Google services we all take for granted, there's always some interesting perspectives and things that I always like to get into the show. And I didn't want to have this happen, you know, 2 days after the tech news show last weekend, only to then not talk about it for 3 weeks. So I'm glad it kind of worked out. I apologize that we didn't hit the show mark, but you know, I decided to kind of pay attention to Google I/O for the week and get some more information before we did the tech news show. So we're going to talk about the SOLIDWORKS blog. We'll also get into the typical tech news, tech alerts, things like that. Now, they have done some really nice things with the support monthly FAQ. It's actually kind of revamped. It looks like it's taken on by another person now. And you know, so it's a little bit of fresher look at some of the things that kind of the goals of what the support FAQ is. And then we'll talk a little bit about industry news and some things that have come out. So let's take a look at everything that happened in the last month in SOLIDWORKS Tech News. All right, so as I've done in weeks past, I kind of break up the SOLIDWORKS blog into kind of two areas. The first one is the tips area, and the second one is the news area. So we'll start with the tips. This is collated over the last, you know, 4 weeks or so. There was about 7 or 8 tips this month, this past 4 weeks, and they started out with being able to do breaks with sheet metal lofts. So if you've ever used sheet metal lofts, they talk about how to actually create it so the bend lines are showing. They also talked a little bit about subweldments, which was a new functionality in 2013. They also talked about revision clouds. Again, revision clouds, for those that don't remember, when we talked about this in the What's New, revision clouds in SOLIDWORKS 2013 actually can be linked or brought in from eDrawing. So it actually, we talked about this with, you know, the What's New. We talked about it when eDrawings came out on the iPad, the way that you could mark up a drawing and actually bring that eDrawing in and bring those markups into a SOLIDWORKS drawing. And again, that kind of brings it full circle, right? You have an annotation tool, you're able to bring it in, and then just the ability to create these clouds, very similar to the way we've been able to do for many years within eDrawings. They also talked about driving SOLIDWORKS assemblies with curve-driven patterns, an interesting post. I always interesting, you know, when I hear curve-driven patterns in general, not just for assemblies, but you know, for years, people have asked me about the linear pattern. And they're always like, yeah, you know, it'd be great to be able to put a linear pattern. And just like the circular pattern, be able to have that evenly spaced instance, right? So you pick a line that's 5 inches long and you say, I want 4 instances and I want them equally spaced. It would automatically make them an inch apart. Well, you've been able to do that for a while, actually, but you don't use linear pattern. You actually use a curve-driven pattern because it has that ability to do the evenly spaced function. So that's always been a trick of mine, especially when I was trying to drive linear patterns to kind of fit properly. Instead of having to do a whole bunch of calculations, I would actually use that equally spaced. So it's kind of a cool way of being able to just adjust the offset and be able to have that equally spacing functionality. So just a side note, a little tip if you never take advantage of that. They also talked about simplify your models using the Intersect tool. Again, one of my favorites from 2013. You know, very powerful tool to kind of combine a number of different facets, whether they were delete faces or you know, up to surface type functionality, cut with surface functionality, kind of wraps it all together in one different or one feature in general. So another good post there. Note building machine, SOLIDWORKS versus Infinite Monkeys, kind of an interesting title, but pretty cool about how to make blocks out of a lot of your notes so you can just drag and drop them in. And then also creating section views in 2013. Again, that was a huge revamp. The section tool in 2013 is pretty powerful. And then also the last one is 5 SOLIDWORKS tips that you may have never seen before. So I'll leave it at that. It's kind of an intriguing post. Most of these, I actually had seen them all, but it was some of them are a little obscure, and it's good to know that they exist. In fact, I'll see if I can actually pull these up on the blog. So here's the list. 5 SOLIDWORKS tips that you may have never seen before. This is actually pretty good. Selecting an edge and starting a sketch. So this is an old one. It's been around a long time. But if you select a sketch or an edge in a model, and then you just hit the sketch tool, right? It'll automatically create wherever it's closer to your cursor will automatically create a normal plane to that curve and allow you to sketch. So let's say you were going to do a sweep along an edge or something like that. You could select the edge, say open a sketch. It automatically will create the plane at the end of the sketch. You sketch your profile, and then you can go to town. So that's kind of an oldie but goodie. Number 4 is loop select. So again, this is the ability where you can select, right, and then select the loop. And that's great most of the time when you select an edge or get the loop. That's a great way of doing it. They did talk about this loop bonus, and this is one that I thought was kind of interesting. Many of you know that if you select a face and you hit the convert entities tool, right, you will automatically convert all the entities to the outside edge of that selection. However, if you have a cut through a block, let's say, and you select the face that cut is on, and then instead of just hitting convert entities, you select one edge of that internal loop and you hit convert entities, it will automatically convert all the entities on the inner loop of the face selection instead. So that's kind of a nice, another, you know, little bonus right there. They also talk about explode direction control. Now, if this one intrigues you a little bit, this is another feature that you may or may not have known, but all you have to do is if you start the explode command, and then you want to actually flip that triad, you can actually click on you hold the Alt and then pick and drag the triad, and you should get a little blue sphere around it. So you can actually reorient the triad, and then you can use it to drag your direction. So that's kind of a nice kind of way of modifying that default triad, which always mimics your parter assembly. The other, number 2, was copy surfaces. So they talk a little bit about selecting surfaces and doing a copy, which essentially there's no copy surface command. Again, this is an old trick too, is just select the surface and just say offset and do 0. So it's always a nice way of being able to maybe grab critical areas of a part and just convert those. And the other one's called move sketches easily. And they talk a little bit about the ability to, you know, hold down control and then drag the entities throughout, you know, the interface. If you want more control, obviously you can go through and do, you know, kind of that your copy function. But it is kind of a neat way of being able to drag it along and make those modifications really easily. So I thought that was a really good tip that made it in the SOLIDWORKS blog. And again, a lot of those are just not things that you're going to completely find in the help or even just, you know, remember because it's not part of your daily routine. Now, the other segment of the SOLIDWORKS blog is obviously the news. There were a couple of things worth mentioning. One of them is SOLIDWORKS is offering for subscription-paying customers free SOLIDWORKS certification. And there was a blog post in there, this post itself, showing you exactly how you can redeem that. There was also another one called Q&A, Keeping Up with the U.S. Department of Defense Requirements. So again, for those of you that are in the military or do any military-type design work, I think that's really the key read for the news area. You know, it's always a challenge. I deal with a lot of customers in the military and Department of Defense contracts, and there's always a lot of hoops that they got to jump through to kind of meet that requirement. There was also another one that says Remotive turns your iPhone into a programmable robot with the help of SOLIDWORKS. Now, this is one of those marketing pieces that I typically skip, but I have a soft spot in my heart for robotics. It was one of my focuses in my degree. So I definitely like some of these things where it brings robotics to the masses. So I thought it was kind of a cool read. And then also learn more about SOLIDWORKS using the built-in tutorials. Now, this is something that for years, I've always talked about to people the tutorials in SolidWorks. I've heard some people have mixed feelings about them, but personally, I mean, looking through them, I remember, you know, 12 years ago when I first came into the channel and reading through and testing out all these, even back then, I thought they were really good. I thought they focused on a lot of little key pieces. If you haven't looked at the tutorials before, or maybe it's been 5, 6, 7 years since you've looked at it, it's probably worth taking a look at. Because the tutorials are pretty expansive now. They typically will include most of the peripheral packages, which before it was basically core SolidWorks, maybe some highlights with things like Animator or stuff like that back in the day. But nowadays, I would say the tutorials are really well done. And I always think that if you're an experienced user and there's areas of SolidWorks that you don't use, which I know not everybody uses every facet of SolidWorks, if you ever have one of those projects where you're like, ah, you know, I kind of have to get into PhotoView, or ah, I have to do a little motion animation, those are the kind of things that I think are, the tutorials are great, especially for experienced users, because you can just click through it real quick, kind of get a feeling of what those functions and features are, and then, you know, get right in and get your hands dirty. So definitely check out the tutorials if you haven't looked at it. So let's switch gears and talk a little bit about some of the tech alerts that came out in the last 4 weeks. All right, well, the tech alerts were a little bit slim this month. There was only two. It was May content, monthly content, and also a very quick poll survey asking two questions of every SolidWorks user. And if you click on it, it takes you to SurveyMonkey, and it shows you two questions. That's it. It says, in the list below, which of the most important deliverables are measured in your job performance? Select one. Product manuals, none. Sales and marketing, maintenance and repair guides, customer review presentations, manufacturing assembly instructions, user installation instructions. So it's asking basically, are you a candidate for 3D Via Composer or now SolidWorks Composer? And then it also asks about, how satisfied are you with the tools that you use to create the above deliverables you selected? So again, very targeted, but they're just kind of trying to get feedback. So it is what it is. Now, the other thing is the featured content. Now, featured content is an area that's basically been going around for a while now. It's probably been around for about a year or so. And this is actually posted by Carrie Pratsky up on the SolidWorks forums. And The feature content for May basically is little segments, and they have usually a featured author. They also talk a little bit about SolidWorks Part Reviewer. They talk a little bit about another new feature this month, the SolidWorks API, and there's an API this month that they're focusing on, saying using single argument callbacks in SolidWorks. And then also our 1 minute tip videos are back. So they're going to talk a little bit about section view and hatch appearances. And again, these are areas to kind of make you aware of some of the content that is out there that SolidWorks is building, blogs and posts and tips that, you know, are kind of part of, you know, trying to collate all this. Obviously, a lot of this stuff too is important because it'll kind of echo up to my SolidWorks as well. But, you know, it's probably something that'll be worth you checking out. It is something that comes out just like the monthly FAQ. And I always like looking for these type of tidbits, because this is the kind of stuff that as a longtime SolidWorks user, you're looking for that one thing that maybe they just make you aware of that maybe fell between the cushions and you hadn't thought about it in a while, or even just new aspects of SolidWorks to kind of branch out your learning. So definitely check it out. Again, like I said, if you're into the 1 minute tips or even some of the API stuff, they've got a real good one pulled together this month. Now, with that being said, monthly FAQ. And I want to talk a little bit about this because they really did a bang up job this month. One of the things that they did is they redid it. So this was for years done by Robbie Loda. I think it was for like the last year or maybe a little bit longer than a year. I want to say it started April of 2012, but it could have been April 2011. It's hard for me to remember. But this month, the SolidWorks support monthly FAQ for May 2013, not one of these that is broken across, you know, one support FAQ for 3 months or whatever, or 2 months. So it has been handed off. Robbie Loda did a great job and kind of got this going, which I think is great. But he's handed it over to Julian. I don't know if anyone have ever talked to Julian in support before. I apologize if Julian, you're listening. I'm not even going to try to pronounce your last name. I don't want to botch it up. But Julian's been around for a while, and he did a good kind of refresh of what the monthly FAQ should be. He starts out first with the customer portal maintenance. This was something that happened last, I think it was last Friday. They took the system down. A little bit frustrating for those of us that have to do support in it. And they talked a little bit about social media, about the My SolidWorks and the new community experience that they put together. And then also talked a little bit about Twitter's customer care page, because they have a new Twitter account for SolidWorks Services Organization at twitter.com/SolidWorksCare. So this is the big thing, Service Pack news. Service Pack 3 is obviously out for SolidWorks 2013 and basically is focused on performance. It also adds some usability improvements, and they also talk a little bit about some of the enhancements that have happened. For SolidWorks, and this is one of the things I really think they did a good job kind of refreshing. Instead of just giving a list of it or saying that, you know, SP3 is out, they talk specifically about some of the short list of enhancements. For SolidWorks, SPR 374567 bill of materials with more than 26 columns can now be saved as an Excel sheet. So that's kind of a limitation before. SPR 619387, in the structural member's property manager, the end miter option, merge miter trimmed bodies, is not checked by default. So again, kind of a little annoyance. You'd always have to uncheck that. And then another one was SPR 636740, and this is pre-selecting a plane, now automatically starts the whole wizard sketch on that plane, same with as pre-selected faces. So kind of an interesting, you know, it's nice to see that. For SolidWorks simulation, there was two. It says SPR 644080. It says it is now possible to change the size of columns in the summary table when probing results on selected entities. That's a nice addition. And then SPR 605886 says it is now possible to define orthotropic material to several bodies at once. Again, another limitation that was a little bit of a hassle. For Enterprise PDM, there's a couple of things in here. Microsoft SQL 2012 is now supported. So that was something that I thought that they were actually already saying that was the case, but it looks like there was an SPR to that at 678560. They must have had some issues with that. And then also detailed timestamps are added to the database service, so the Kinesio DB service.exe log, for enhanced troubleshooting. So detailed timestamps is key, especially when you're digging in trying to figure out why something's not working. And so it talks a little bit about getting the full list of SPRs. If you want to see what was addressed in Service Pack 3, you can actually go in under the My Support and click on the fixed SPR list right inside the customer portal. Now, another revamped area of the monthly FAQ was the new knowledge base articles. Julian took a little change in title and calls it Noteworthy Solutions from the SolidWorks Knowledge Base. Very nice. And so he kind of lays it out. There's a couple of them that are more question-based. Instead of just having kind of a solution ID, he kind of puts it at the end. But it says, what to do if flow simulation crashes every time after clicking finish for the project configuration wizard? It's likely caused by older versions of some DLLs in your System 32 folder. See solution ID S-061623. So, you know, kind of a nice layout to it. There was four other ones here. I'll just read real quick. I won't read the solutions. But if you've been impacted by these, you can kind of check them out. It says, how does Enterprise PDM handle Windows user login when the same user exists in multiple locations? For example, both local and a domain account. And, you know, then they have the information on there. The trick is that as long as the login name, so let's say mine is El Gallo and I'm on a domain using Windows login, and I have another one that's not, it's like PDM login. As long as it is the same login name on both, it'll use one license. Doesn't matter how many places I'm logged into. So that's kind of a cool feature, but they talk a little bit about that as well. And it says, is it possible to automate the restart of SolidWorks Enterprise PDM database service? It says, yes, a batch file obviously can be created to restart. This command is given in solution ID S-061623. It also asks about when will Microsoft Office 2013 be supported for SolidWorks? And it says currently scheduled for full support within the release of SolidWorks 2014. Just so you know, there's two things about Office that Office 2013 I think I should mention, because I think I've been using it since it came out. I've actually been using it since it was in beta. I've had no issues whatsoever. Another thing that's very interesting about Office 2013 is that when you install this, it's typically developed in the click-to-run install over the web. And the benefit of this is obviously if you've ever bought Office before, it's a huge download. It takes forever to download. It's 400 megs or something like that. Obviously not forever, but you know, and then the install can take a long time as well. So you may sit there for 10 minutes while it's installing Office, at which time you can't really use it at all. One of the coolest things about 2013 is that when you actually buy it online, it's $99 if you buy it through I think it's Office 365. You can pay $99. You can put it on 5 machines, and it's a yearly cost. So obviously not, you know, the prices are no different than they were before. I think they're relatively about the same price. They're about $400 for Office Pro. But with the $99, you get this click to run. And the coolest thing about it is that when you click it and say install, a nice little window will pop up. It'll start installing, and then it'll give you a little message down by your clock. It kind of minimizes down by the taskbar, and it'll pop up and say, you can go ahead and use Office. We're going to finish up the install. And so you're kind of, okay, I guess I can launch it. And when you launch the app, let's say you launch Excel, it runs immediately, like within 2 minutes or within a minute of clicking on install from the web. There's nothing downloaded yet. You can run it. And the coolest part about it is that I'm like, all right, I can still see the thing saying Office 2013 is installing in the background. So I launch SolidWorks and I kick up a quick design table, and sure enough, it runs like a champ. I can tell it's running 2013 Office because it definitely has a different look to it. And I just thought it was cool. I had no Office on my system. I click to run. It tells me go ahead and use Office, and I launch SolidWorks, and within a minute of clicking install of Office, I'm running it. I'm using a design table in SolidWorks, and it's functioning as normal. So Microsoft has done a really good job getting this, you know, kind of click to run installer to work over the web. It was pretty mind-boggling to watch how quickly you had access to actually run the app after click and download. So that was a little sideshow on that, but looks like full support will come with 2014. But if you already have it or you're worried about it not working, it seems to work fine. I've had no issues. And the last thing in the support FAQ is, where can I download the hotfix SPR 678398? And it gives it a couple of them here, and it talks a little bit about where to get your hands on those. So it says, that's all for the month. Thanks for reading this edition of SolidWorks Support News, and if you have any additional help with every issue, the coolest part about this is it says, if you have comments or suggestions, they're welcome, and enter them below. So remember, this isn't a newsletter. This isn't a static page. This is actually on the general blog posts inside the forums, and you can go in and add your own comments. You know, you just have to log in, and you can put your comments. So if there's areas or things that you want Julian to include, I'm sure he's looking for those so he can incorporate and make this monthly FAQ, you know, even better than it is today. And I think he's done a good job. It's kind of a refresh of some of the things that we're after. But I really like where it's going, and I hope it continues every month. Now, as far as some of the industry tech news, obviously it was pretty much overshadowed completely by the Google conference. But before I get into the Google conference, I want to talk about two other things that I thought were notable. We talked earlier a couple weeks ago about GrabCAD Workbench. This is now launched. I would definitely check it out. Again, it's a great collaboration platform. It's a good first start. I know they have a lot of stuff that they still want to do, but I definitely recommend checking out. If you haven't been to GrabCAD in a while, go to grabcad.com, set up an account and log in and upload your models and work with this collaboration tool. It's very cool, and I did a whole show on it two weeks ago. The other thing that came out this week as far as technology is, we've been hearing a lot about Windows Blue. Windows Blue was the code name for the next release of Windows 8. Not quite Windows 9, but you know, basically learning what they did in Windows 8 and maybe adding some adjustments. There's talk about the start button coming back, not the start menu, the start button. In other words, that instead of in the lower right-hand corner where or left-hand corner where you hover and then the start screen kind of fades in, I would imagine they would just add a button. I don't really see a lot of point in that. It only takes a few minutes to get used to it, but you know, it seems like there's a lot of mixed feelings. A lot of enterprise users just kind of blown away by the start menu. They don't like it. They just want to boot to desktop. So those are the two kind of rumored things. They're going to change a little bit with the Metro apps, how you can snap them and adjust sizes and things like that. But also the two highlights are that they may bring the button back, and they also may allow you to boot to the desktop. So it is what it is. Some people are very angry that they're not sticking to their guns, and other people are relieved but not quite happy because they don't bring the start menu back. But one of the things that happened this past week is that Microsoft stopped calling it Blue because that was a code name, and now are calling it Windows 8.1. And the best part about it is Windows 8.1 will be free. So it looks like this is going to go into like a public beta or preview sometime in June, end of June. So we should be seeing it probably around, I would guess, around fall. The other news that is out is really around Google I.O. Right before Google I.O., they did announce Google Now for iOS, which is kind of an interesting thing. If you have an Android phone on Jelly Bean, you've probably played with this Now functionality. Google Now is basically, it starts to learn your behavior. For me, it's awesome. I have a Nexus 7, and it'll be sitting on the counter in the kitchen, and it'll pop up a notification in Google Now saying, hey, if you want to get to work on time, you better leave now. There's a little bit of traffic. So it's kind of an interesting play on what you know you do, but Google Now is now in the Google Search app. So if you have the Google Search app on an iPhone or an iOS device, you'll kind of see it. It's not quite the experience of what you have in Android, but you know, definitely worthwhile. So the other thing with Google I.O., let's talk a little bit about some of the announcements. There were some interesting things. I actually watched this throughout the day. It was a monster keynote. It was almost 4 hours. But there was one thing out of all the stuff that they talked about that I thought was really interesting. They played this little video about basically how the web has changed in the last 7 years. And when I think of 7 years, I think of my daughter, who's seven. And I think about when she was born, this is what the web was like. And they just kind of rolled through everything. HTML, CSS, Ajax, HTML5, all the video and all the different formats and codecs and all the stuff that's happening on the web. And you start to see that in terms of 7 years of how much stuff has changed and how dynamic the web has become. And for those of you that have been around the web since its infancy and since it started, like me, you remember pages that were completely static. And when you see all the stuff that updates automatically without refreshing and all these things, these dynamic technologies that really bring the web to life, in a 7-year time frame, most of that dynamic functionality came to life. So then I put that in kind of context of what you would think in terms of the CAD industry. The CAD industry has not changed that much. In 20 years, it hasn't changed that much. But I look at the web, and it is completely changed in just a time frame of about 5 to 7 years. So that's one of the things that I always try and bring into the show a little bit, is that when you think about, you know, maybe you're in the team that looks at CAD on the cloud or web-based CAD tools or CAE tools, and you kind of grimace a little bit. Think about the platform web in general. Yes, there are certain things, experiences that are not going to feel as snappy, as strong, and are as powerful maybe as what you're used to on the desktop. But when you have a platform that is changing and evolving so quickly, and our lives and the way that we work, we were always disconnected. You know, 10 years ago, not everybody had internet at their office. And you look at today, and it's you can't make a dollar without an internet connection. So when you look at a platform like that and how much it's evolving, it's really hard to say CAD can never exist there, or I'm never going to use a tool on the cloud. Because really, when you look at it in terms of how quickly it's evolving, it's very hard not to think it's going that direction. So I even look at just what we've done in business in switching to most of our services being cloud-based. And 5, 6, 7 years ago, there wasn't a chance of that. So you have to kind of look at it in terms of that. Google is obviously, they are purely representative of kind of the movement on the web. So all that aside, let's just rattle through the list. They had a pretty good running list of things to pay attention to. A lot of announcements. They did beat Apple to the punch and announce their first Google Play Music All Access. This is a $9, and I think if you sign up before the end of June, it'll be a $7.99 instead of $9.99 streaming service. Looked pretty cool. A lot of cool functionality. And they also talked a little bit about the Galaxy S4. This is something, obviously, that Samsung announced. Most of the Android phones out there have their own skins. And what's cool about this is that Google announced that they are going to have a full or pure Galaxy S4 available with Jelly Bean. Only bummer is that it comes with a $650 unlocked phone fee. So not terribly cost effective, but if you're a big GS4 fan or a Galaxy fan and want to have the pure Android experience, that's one way to look at it. Lots of updates to Chrome. Obviously, Chrome and Android are now under the same person. So there's a lot of cool things. They showed some amazing stuff with Google Chrome. Everything from just the updates to the browser functionality that they've added, but also the ability to utilize a lot of different cool technologies, faster loading, but still high-quality pictures and video. They also talked about, they showed this awesome thing. It's called Google, I think it's google.com/racer. And if you go there, it is a basically a Chrome experiment, and you can put multiple devices next to each other, and they can be all different sizes, iPad, a Nexus, an iPhone, an Android phone. You put them all next to each other, and then you start a game, and you get a code, and you put the code in every single device, and it'll automatically figure out and align the games to one another. It's really quite amazing. And then you can race each other. So it'll show how many lines depending on how many devices. And then you can race each other across the screens and they're all in sync. Even the sound changes from one to the other. It was just absolutely amazing. I did it with my phone and my Nexus and my iPad, and sure enough, it worked. So it's definitely cool to see when you see stuff like that, that's what kind of gives you some hope for the future of what the web's going to bring. Now, they also announced updates to Google Plus. Google Plus got a kind of a revamp. Everything is more card-based. You can actually lay things out either in the list view, what you were used to, or in more kind of card layouts, which kind of reminds me of Google Now. I've had some people say or liken it to what you would see in Pinterest, but I don't really think that it looks like Pinterest that much, but there's a lot of animation to it. They also unified messaging across multiple screens, and they actually introduced a Hangouts app. So there was a lot of talk about them unifying messaging and calling it Babel or Babble. But what they ended up calling it is Hangouts. So they kind of took the video kind of back and forth functionality of Google Plus and made that called Hangouts. So you have this kind of Hangout functionality that would be video based. It's just like what it used to be when Hangouts were Hangouts. But Hangouts have now replaced the right hand panel of chat. And it's an ongoing conversation. So whether you're in a browser or you're in Gmail or you're in Google Plus or even on your Android or iOS, there's a Hangouts app and it allows you to continue that conversation. So chat is very short term, right? You talk to somebody and when you're done talking with them, it usually goes away. You don't really see kind of the history like you would in Skype or anything like that. And what Hangouts does is kind of unify the chat experience across multiple products, whether it's Plus or Gmail or whatever, but then also adds this layer of continuity between conversations. So I'm still trying, I think they're still trying to kind of, you know, work out some of the kinks, but so far it's really been nice to have that kind of ongoing, conversation. If I pick up a chat or I'm doing a group chat with a couple of people, I can re-enter that group chat. This is something we've had in Gmail a long time to create group chats, but once you killed the chat, it was gone. And so they've added some kind of continuity to that that I think is actually pretty nice. So Google Plus redesign and then also the whole Hangouts. The one thing that they did that I thought was pretty amazing is there were some updates to search. And search, they did some pretty neat stuff. Now, I've used an extension in Chrome for a while that allows me to do some voice search, kind of like what we do with Google Now. But this new Google search, the big differentiator is the fact that it is a conversation. It understands what you're talking about. So the demo was you could talk to it. You could click the little microphone, and you could say something like, I need to go to work. And it would show you where your work was because it knows where you work. And then you can say, I need to go to the cleaners at 3. And it would understand that you were probably going from work. Or, it would say, what about going, and then go here. So it would understand that you were at work now, and now you wanted to go to this place. It was really interesting the way that it was conversational. They have some videos up on Google I/O of this demo, and I definitely recommend checking it out. They also announced some new the next generation of Google Maps. They talked about all the pins being on there, a lot more information around your info. But one of the coolest things was in Google Earth, they showed this kind of show. So they have the same kind of 3D view like you would have in iOS Maps. But the coolest part about it is when they showed Google Earth, they actually showed you kind of zooming out, and you'd see the Earth, and you'd see the Earth from a distance, and you could kind of rotate, and actually on a pixel, you could rotate the whole Earth, and the sun would go behind the Earth, and then it would change, and you would see all the stars in the sky. And the coolest thing about it that they kind of just mentioned is you can see the Earth and you see clouds, right? You've seen a picture of the Earth. You've seen the clouds that are floating by. They said the clouds are rendering real time. So the cloud patterns that are shown on Google Earth when you're zoomed out are real, and they're positioned correctly in terms of the way they are right now. And I just thought, I'm thinking to myself, like, that's the kind of detail, that's the kind of stuff that Google does that just kind of makes you, you know, kind of shake your head. So I thought it was overall just a very interesting display of what you can do with the web and what you can do with some of these tools that they have. So it kind of gives you a feeling, especially it's a developers conference, so they're trying to get a lot of the developers excited about it. But overall, I thought Google I/O was a pretty amazing thing. Even if you're not a huge fan of Google, it's probably worthwhile to go to their Google I/O page. Just type in Google I/O 2013. And they've got plenty of videos. They streamed the whole thing, and you can watch some pretty amazing stuff. If you just think, you know, you like tech or technology in general, this is definitely something to watch some highlights on. All right, well, I appreciate you guys hanging tight. I know it was 2 weeks since we talked last, but I wanted to get a show out on tech news. And like I said, there was a lot of stuff to talk about. And definitely, like I said, if you get a chance, an opportunity, check out Google I/O. They had a number of very, very cool technologies they were showing off, many of which you're actually going to be able to get to. If you want to check out the new maps, you can go to maps.google.com/preview and sign up. And once it's made available, they'll send you a little link and you get an early sneak peek of what that's like. I still haven't gotten mine yet, but it is something interesting to see how the web is developing and some of the stuff that people are doing on the web. So I really, again, it's the platform that I am continually amazed by, and I'm always trying to see what is possible. And you know, it does relate to the CAD industry very tightly, and I think that we need to have more people jumping on that as a platform. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, you can hit up the comments section or email me at lou@solidworksherd.com. Don't forget to visit the Herd at herd.solidworksherd.com and register for an account. You can follow me there or on Google+, Twitter, or Facebook by searching for SolidWorks Herd. This episode of SolidWorks Herd was sponsored by Digital Dimensions, Forward Engineering Solutions, online at www.didcad.com. Music was provided by 21 Against by means of Music Alley at musicalley.com.